Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday at Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Appreciate Coach Jeff Fisher for joining us in the first hour. And security, please come to the stage. Thank you.
Just kidding.
We're excited to continue the conversation, though, with Mike Griffith, Dog Nation, talk some SEC, the big game this weekend, Tennessee and Georgia, the Bulldogs and the Vols. Mike, how you doing?
Oh, doing great, guys. Thanks.
When Georgia, your sense that Georgia may have on this Vols team, is it a little bit different based on what Tennessee's done the first couple of weeks with Joey Aguilar running the Josh Heupel offense?
I don't know. I think it's more about Georgia being different. And, you know, they've got a, you know, first-year starting quarterback in Gunnar Stockton that's never played in this kind of environment before. And, you know, they've got an offensive line that's had a couple key injuries. It was already a bit of a makeover with four guys off to the NFL. So some different receivers than you've seen, a different backfield. So I think it's really more about Georgia, you know, looking different, trying to play the same against Tennessee. But they got a lot of new guys that haven't done it yet.
Was last week a look ahead, or do you think Austin Peay is that good that they were able to hang with Georgia?
I think Jeff Ferris is, if coaches were a stock, I'd be investing in this guy. You want to talk about a rising star head coach. I mean, this guy's got all the markings of it when you look at his resume and where, and I'm not trying to turn this into the Austin Peay show, but I can't tell you how impressed I was with this coach, and especially when I looked into his background and saw he was a former National Assistant Coach of the Year and his background with David Cutcliffe, who you guys know really well. Just the way he represented himself and the way their team played. You know, they look like a big-time football team. I know they're FCS. I'm well aware of that. But if their win over Middle Tennessee State didn't convince you that they're doing something different there, then, you know, the way they played Georgia, I mean, they're 1 yard away from being within one score of Georgia in the fourth quarter between the hedges. So I think that was part of it. But I think another part of it, too, was that Kirby was going to be vanilla. They didn't do a lot with their motion. They didn't do a lot with their shift. They certainly didn't try to force the ball downfield or even take many shots. They just didn't want to turn the ball over. They ran a very basic offense, defensively very vanilla. You didn't see the pressure package. You didn't see – because Kirby doesn't want to show that, because he knows that it's going to be a three-dimensional chess match at 3:30 Saturday. I mean, he's playing against a coach that's a former national championship quarterback, and the adjustments are going to be going crazy in the first quarter. We're not going to really know about this game till about midway through the second quarter. So pretty vanilla from Georgia, but you got to give Austin Peay props and Coach Ferris. I mean, this guy is really impressive.
We're talking to Mike Griffith from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, part of Dog Nation. Mike, does it mean anything that Georgia dropped in the poll? Can Kirby use that as a motivator for his football team on Saturday, or is this just a big bunch of nothing?
Oh no! I mean, I don't think the poll is the motivator for Kirby so much as just it's Tennessee, and you know this is a game now that Georgia's won 8 years in a row. It's a game that Kirby's a little bent on. You guys know he never beat Tennessee as a player, and he's had a lot of success as a coach. I think he was up there as Nick Saban's defensive coordinator for four games, and I think they won by double digits every time. And I think Georgia's won by double digits with him as a head coach every time. So it's kind of like, is this the Georgia team that's going to hold the line? And beyond that, the team itself has doubts. I mean, you mentioned the 28-6 win over Austin Peay. Nobody was impressed with that, and even against Marshall. And you look at the offense. They've had one play go longer than 25 yards all year long, and that was a screen pass. So the offense has lacked explosivity. There's guys competing for playing time. There's a quarterback trying to prove himself worthy. There's so many more things ahead of the polls, and you guys have seen the spread. I mean, it's dropped from 7 to 3.5 points. I mean, Everybody's on the Vols pretty hot.
Is this right where Kirby wants everything to be, Mike?
Well, it's convenient to say that from an intangible standpoint, but if he right. had his brothers, Jalen Carter and Brock Bowers would be coming out the tunnel, you know, I think where he'd like it is to have completed a pass to a tight end last week, which they did not, to have a pass play that went at least 20 yards last week, which they did not. Wow. He'd like to see some more accuracy downfield from Gunner. He's only taken a few shots, but he wants Gunner to have more confidence doing that. And I think he wants ball security. I mean, Nate Frazier was a guy, their starting tailback. He had three fumbles last year, and he had a fumble against Austin Peay. So there's some concerns with the ball security. If you're going to play not to lose on offense, which is kind of what Georgia does because they've got a great defense and great special teams, you got to have ball security or that strategy goes right out the window.
Mike Griffith is with us. Looking at some other games in the SEC, the other one that is very intriguing to us, obviously, is Vanderbilt going on the road to take on South Carolina. We've seen Vanderbilt really a tale of two halves last week against Virginia Tech, where they struggled some in the first half and ended up, you know, turning it loose in the second half and winning. Diego Pavia has been tremendous. And then South Carolina, I don't know if we've seen them go quite to the level that we think they can go to yet. So what's kind of your make on this game?
Yeah, I mean, there were three games. I didn't know which way you were going. There's a couple other games, too, out there. But on this one, it's interesting because South Carolina's ranked 11th. I don't think anybody really believes that they're 11th best team right now. Right. But you know how pollsters vote. You vote a team. As long as they win, you move them. I don't do that, but a lot of pollsters do that. And to your point, South Carolina didn't look good. Their offense didn't look good against South Carolina State. They had three touchdowns. I believe two of them were punt returns, and another one was a defensive score. And, you know, Sellers really didn't have a great game. I mean, you got two of the premier quarterbacks in the country here in terms of playmakers and excitement. And it really kind of comes down to who plays better. The only thing I'd say about Vanderbilt, which, speaking of great coaches, get Clark Lee lined, you know, get him the lifetime contract right now, is it's under the lights on the road. And that's tough. And I've seen, gosh, it wasn't so long ago I saw a Tennessee team with Butch Jones that had a chance to take command of the SEC. I believe it was, 2016? And they lost on the road at South Carolina under the lights. Listen, it's tough under the lights everywhere. Hey, ask Alabama. You know, they know that, right? Nashville. So it's a tough game on the road, under the lights. You're right. Tale of two halves for Vandy. South Carolina didn't look great against Virginia Tech for a while either, and they needed special teams in that game. So this is a game of intangibles. Special teams has been big for South Carolina. Two incredible playmaking quarterbacks. Who's going to have the better? Like two great golfers, right? Who's going to hit the pin? These guys are both going for it. I think it's an exciting game. I thought you were going to tell me maybe Ole Miss and Arkansas. I mean, Arkansas has got a great quarterback. Lane Kiffin under the lights at home. Is Sam Pittman coaching for his job? Or maybe we talk LSU and Florida and Billy Napier, you know, back squarely to the wall under the lights at LSU, where Brian Kelly's 20-2, but lackluster performance last week. But the highest ranked SEC team at number three. So will the real LSU Tigers and Florida Gators please stand up?
I love it. Mike, let me ask you this. Say Diego Pavia goes into Columbia Saturday night and has one hell of a game. They knock off the number of whatever South Carolina's ranked. Vanderbilt's 3-0. Does Diego Pavia become a Heisman Trophy favorite? Because right now there's no one. And we love him. We love him here in Nashville because he walks the walk, talks the talk. But if he shows what he can do against South Carolina on the road, I'm telling you, Mike, he might be right now the favorite, or at least in the top three.
Yeah, he could. I don't know about the top three, but I think he could crack the top 10. I mean, right now it looks like, you know, John Mateer at Oklahoma, this week's favorite, John Mateer. You know, who's it going to be next week, right? We've seen Arch Manning. And so to your point, I would say Vanderbilt cracks the top 25. That's a good starting point. You've already got 11 SEC. I mean, think about this, guys. 11 SEC teams are in the top 25. 11. Ooh. 11 out of the 16 teams in the league. By my math, that's almost 75%, right? Then you look at the Big Ten, they got 6 out of 18, 33%. You know, College Football Playoff Selection Committee, are you paying attention to this? Yes, Vanderbilt would crack the top 25. If Pavia wins that game, he's one step closer. I think he would need to beat one of the juggernauts like he did last year. The win over Alabama, I thought, was the one that really resonated. And that's still in the back of everyone's mind. But there's no question that would be a huge step forward for Vanderbilt to get a road win against a number 11 ranked team in a battle of Heisman favorites. I think Sellers is currently the number two favorite. Pavia would certainly have to pass him up, I would think, if he were able to beat him head to head.
All right, Mike, you brought up that Florida-LSU game. We talked about this earlier in the week. I mean, they got to go at LSU, then to Miami, then play Texas at Texas A&M. I mean, I don't see how Billy Napier survives this. You can say strength of schedule all you want, but, you know, that South Florida loss might be damning to him if they end up, you know, evaluating his job or not. This is a brutal schedule in a year where he really needed to prove something.
Yeah, I mean, I thought his coaching turnaround midway through last year was amazing. I'd never seen anything like it. But the problem was that DJ Lagway got hurt and really isn't healthy. And they need him to be at his best. He's one of those guys that moves the needle and does more than just what you see in the box score. And without a healthy Lagway, and then on top of it, you've got the unintended consequences of the NIL. You know, and Lagway's been cashing a lot of checks, and that's hard on a team culture when a guy that's not 100% or performing well is making millions of dollars. So I think there's a lot going on in Gainesville, and they kind of did a coaching search midway through last year anyway. We know that. We know the money was raised, and, you know, we know they had their sights set on Lane Kiffin. Now I'm hearing Rhett Lashley at SMU would be the next guy. I mean, they're already a move ahead. There's just not a lot of confidence in Billy Napier. And, you know, I think he's a good guy. He's a good person, but I don't think he brings the charisma that Florida wants or needs in that program. And I just don't know that it was a good fit from the get-go. I don't know that they were ready to gamble on Lane Kiffin. I mean, let's face it, you know, everybody's got a past. And even though Lane has, I think, dialed it down of late, I think, you know, we're seeing more of a PG version of Lane Kiffin now. And, you know, seems like his personal life seems pretty settled. Don't know if he would be a guy they would go for now. Don't know if Lane would leave Ole Miss. Seems like a good situation. They were, maybe one win away from the playoffs. So to your point, it does seem like it's inevitable. The question is when and how. Do you do it in season? I mean, who would be next up? Or do you struggle through the whole year? Because, you know, you're always talking about recruiting classes and NIL dollars and having those boosters on board. The guys that write the checks ultimately make the decision.
Absolutely. And Mike, before I let you go, how's that Auburn fan base feeling right now?
Well, they got to be feeling pretty good. I mean, you know, Hugh Freeze, you know, the road win at Baylor was impressive. You know, bit of a cream puff win there against Ball State last week. And South Alabama comes in. I mean, with Oklahoma being on deck, here's the thing I'm looking at now, guys, as tough as the SEC is, and I can't state that enough, the parity's like never before. If you're Auburn and you've got a game against Oklahoma next week, you got to play a lot of guys, right? I mean, but it's South Alabama. And we've seen the Jaguars. They're capable of biting you now. I mean, that's not a horrible group of six program. So you got to do enough to win. I just don't know if maybe you put the hammer down. So I'm not expecting that to be maybe a blowout of big proportion. It, same with Oklahoma as they go up to Temple. Of all places, how in the world? There's got to be – I haven't Googled this yet. How in the world did Oklahoma get a game in Philadelphia against Temple? I want to know who pulled that one out. But and how do they play knowing they've got Auburn next week? So, and I say this because we're all cognizant of the betting lines now. I mean, that's one of the things about the state of Tennessee is those apps are pretty live there and people pay attention to those things. So I wonder about letdown games for Oklahoma and Auburn, which isn't the worst thing in the world if it's sandwiched between two big games. It's inevitable, right? Like LSU struggled last week against Louisiana Tech. They beat Clemson. Wow. First game of the week, huge win, Baltimore in the top five, and then they're home against Louisiana Tech. Now they got a night game against Florida. The reality is, and Joe, you know this, these teams, as much as you want to say give 110 every week and there's only so many games on the schedule, there's a human factor to this. You know, just like Georgia. And again, I don't want to take anything away from Austin Peay, because if nothing else, take away from me that they've got a great coach and the program's going in the right direction. But the stands are empty. There's a delay. It's just zapped the crowd. Those guys are playing in front of empty bleachers against an FCS team. So it's going to be a different Georgia against Tennessee. It's going to be a different Auburn against South Alabama. But, yes, if you're an Auburn fan, you're feeling pretty good. But you know what? Kalen DeBoer and the Crimson Tide, you know, 73 points is a lot against anybody, especially when Ryan Williams didn't play. Let's see what they do against Wisconsin at home. If the Tide pounds Wisconsin, it's going to be a nervous bye week for both Alabama and Georgia because they're playing in 2 weeks, guys.
Woo. Yep, that's going to be a good one. Joe and I just saw Wisconsin firsthand up in Madison. They're not very good, so Alabama should have their way. Mike, thanks so much for doing this. We appreciate it.
All right, appreciate it, Chase. You guys have a great one now.
Absolutely. Mike Griffith from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and Dog Nation covers the SEC and Georgia. Appreciate him for joining us. We'll react to some of those things. And then bottom of the hour, talk some high school, Pearl Cone in Oakland. Looking forward to that matchup. Do that on Chase and Big Joe here at the Omni, 102.5 The Game. Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel, proud sponsor of this here program. You can weigh in on anything we're talking about on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com at 615-737-1025. And Joseph, this Saturday you'll be in Nevada, in Reno, as the Blue Raiders take on the Wolfpack. Nevada Wolfpack. Pregame coverage at 2:30 and kickoff at 4. You can hear it all on 93.3, Totally Hits, Totally Nashville, and on the app and totallyhitsnashville.com. So you and Chip.
Yep.
I won't be with you this time. I'm sad. I had fun last week.
Flying out tomorrow. Hey, listen, keep the responses coming for our question of the day. These are great. You guys are wonderful. Our question today is, what is good in your life? What are you grateful for? What do you wake up every day thanking God for? 615-737-1025. We're going to flood the airwaves in Middle Tennessee with positivity today because of what happened yesterday. And, of course, 9-11 happening, the anniversary, 24-year anniversary today. But the responses on our text line, on our personal message lines, on our Twitter and everything, thank you for letting us know what is good in your life. What are you grateful for? What do you wake up every day and thank God for every single day? And it's really empowering, Chase and Dr. Crane, to read these from so many different responses and different people. But there's so many in our text line. Thank you all, because we are the hope in the world. Us, me, you, everybody. And it's good to know that there's a lot of hope right now.
We had a gentleman walk up to us during the break and say that he's thankful for becoming a grandfather today.
Yep.
That I believe he said a granddaughter.
Granddaughter.
Was born. And that is fantastic.
Yeah, he added that, you know, because now I can, 9/11 means good to me. Means
yes.
Happiness to me instead of thinking about what happened 24 years. So that's good. So keep it flying. We love to hear y'all's responses. 615-737-1025. What is good in your world?
Thomas and Nash, or Thomas on a car phone, as he likes to say. Guys, I know I mess with y'all all the time, but I'm thankful for you guys. Y'all spread positivity when Joe is not being a grumpy old man. And I especially appreciate interviews with great people like Coach Fisher. He will always be a titan to me. Love that man. Thanks, guys. Love you, Joe.
Oh, thank you, buddy. I appreciate you very much.
So we obviously appreciate that. I'm trying to find some. You respond, and I lose track of where some of these go. It's all good. Anyway, I don't know.
There's so many that come in here.
4704 says, Metro Police and Metro Fire have a large flag display flying out at Opry Mills today in honor of 9/11. That's cool. Very cool.
Yep.
9355 says, I have to say that I'm grateful the Lord blessed me with my wife, my best friend that shares the same values and is a great teammate in raising our son. Every day coming home to them makes life better.
Yeah, love it, man. Just there's so much good happening that sometimes we need to have an expression, an outlet for that, and that's what we're trying to do, to let people know how great. What are you grateful for? I'm grateful for Lord and Savior who loves me, who's forgiven me. I'm grateful for Chase and Dr. Crane, my granddaughter, my kids, my brother, I mean, friends. I can keep going on and on in my life of things that I'm extremely grateful and just good in my world. And thank you, Lord, for that.
Randy, this is a good one. Men's mental health related. My now wife, who I've known since 1985. In 2007, she saw something wasn't right. Hadn't been for several months. Long story short, she got with my mom. They got me help. I was diagnosed with bipolar 2 and PTSD. I still see the same psychiatrist 18 years later. By not being afraid to speak up, my now wife of 15 years saved my life.
Yes.
Also, God gave me the gift and talent to be able to make money as a watercolor artist. So blessed. Thank you for sharing that, Randy.
Randy, God bless you. Thank you. And that, Randy, that's exactly what we talk about every day. Please talk to someone. Please talk to someone. If you ask somebody how they're doing, they say, nah, I'm okay. Nah, you know they're not. And keep asking questions. Keep loving on them. And that's the mission that us three guys have been on for 2 years. It's not just we speak it. We live it, and we want you guys to know how much we appreciate and love you.
Two more real quick. David in Murfreesboro. I have two God-fearing kids that serve others. That's David and appreciate that. And Hair Metal Henry says, I'm grateful that I didn't win the lottery so that I will have to continue to make good life decisions, sort of.
We love
Henry,
you,
we
man.
Love you. We yes. love you indeed. Coming up next, a huge game tomorrow night in high school football. Pearl Cone heads to Oakland to take on the Patriots. We will talk to both coaches coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Coming up tomorrow night is our Metro Schools Game of the Week, presented by Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. We'll hit the road, head down to Oakland High School in Rutherford County as Pearl Cone, the Firebirds, will take on the Patriots. And starting things off now with our coaches' conversation, one of our favorites, Kevin Creasy, is on the line with us, head coach of the Oakland Patriots. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
It's good to talk to you again. It's been a while, but your team starts off 3-0, the Oakland Patriots. How do you feel like your guys have played to this point?
Yeah, you know, I think our defense is playing incredible. I think our offense and special teams are doing, you know, good enough to win. But I think so far our defense has shown that, you know, they're much improved from last year. And guys,
I reach out to them to help them.
They got incredible speed. It's incredible to watch them play. And there's a lot of big-time players over on the defensive side.
Do you feel like with the way the schedule was, your first three games, you know, CPA was obviously one last week against Smyrna and then Huntington, that you guys going up against a good Pearl Cone team, you're battle-tested at this point?
Yeah, you know, we didn't know much about Huntington, West Virginia. You know, it was kind of a bowl game in Eastern Kentucky, and come to find out, those guys, they ended up beating the defending state champs last Friday night, so... You know, playing at the bowl game in Kentucky on the road, playing on the road at Smyrna, and then of course CPA being CPA, that was a tough three games. But you know, I think Pearl can be our toughest.
Talking to my good friend Coach Kevin Creasy at Oakland High School, Coach, you know how much I love you and high school football and everything. Thank you for playing this game. Thank you for you and Coach Brunetti doing this, because it's not a region game, but the fact it's a good football game between two coaches that I really admire, two great programs. Thank you for doing this, because it's a win-win, even though it's about winning on Friday nights. But off the field, Coach, it's a win-win for your program, for Coach Brunetti. That's the way I feel, and I hope you feel the same way.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. You know, Coach Brunetti does a heck of a job, and like I said, we're going to play a really good team that I felt like should have beaten CPA. You know, we both should have came into this game, you know, after big wins over CPA. And at the end of the day, I think, you know, to get a really good team out of Murfreesboro, to play a really good team out of Metro Nashville, I think it's great for the fans. I think we're going to have a big crowd. And then next year, we're going to return the favor. You know, we're going to Pearl and playing on their new turf field. And so we got a two-year deal in which they're having kind of the same trouble we are, you know, just finding people to play. And so, you know, CPA, same boat. So all three of us have kind of agreed to all three play each other. And like I said, I get along with Coach Martin and Coach Brunetti really well.
Plus, I mean, the speed of Pearl Cone, how will they play, how will they pursue? I mean, this is a game you could learn a lot from about your football team, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I look at the teams that we got to beat, and the defenses that we have to play against are really fast and athletic, you know, over at Blackman, over at Riverdale, over at Stewart's Creek. So all those defenses remind me of Pearl's, and Pearl's got some really good size, too, which would be a challenge for our offensive line. And then, of course, on offense, you look at those guys on offense, they can take it to the house any play. And so that's what we need. You know, we need this week four in the season. You know, we could have easily found a cupcake and, you know, done what a lot of people around here do, just pay some money, and next thing you know, you got a 50-0 win and everybody feels good about itself. But like I said, we're going to find out a lot about ourselves after playing a well-coached team with really good players in Pearl Cone.
Coach Kevin Creasy with us from Oakland High School. Coach, appreciate the time today. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow night.
Yeah, looking forward to it, guys.
Absolutely. Coach Kevin Creasy joining us here on the program from Oakland. We now move to the opponent, the Pearl Cone Firebirds, and Tony Brunetti is on the line with us. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
We're doing fantastic. We just talked to Coach Creasy. I mean, we know Oakland and what they've done historically, what they've done this year at 3-0. But I feel like your team going up against NBA, CPA, BGA, you have to feel like you're battle-tested at this point in the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first two games helped you a lot grow and find your faults early. The biggest thing, hopefully, you can stay healthy during that stretch. That's how it works when you put a tough, you know, first four or five games.
Looking at your schedule too, you have a lot of games on the road. Was that kind of by design? And does that help battle test the team?
I think since I've been doing this, since I've been playing a tough schedule the first three or four games, is over the years has really benefited us to grow faster. You had the good points and the bad points, but I knew the schedule would be hard, but it didn't get hard.
Right. Oh, yeah. Talk to the Pearl Cone head coach, Tony Bernetti. Coach, how many years is this now for you at Pearl Cone?
I've been at Pearl about 25 years, but I said this is my 20th year head coach at Pearl Cone.
Oh, my goodness. And you got the state title a couple of years ago. What do you like about challenges like this, Coach? I've known you for a long time. You've never once been afraid of a challenge. What do you like about it, and what do you hope your kids take away from going on the road and taking on the tough 6A team in Oakland?
Man, they know we got to come play. I mean, they established their program. They know their winning program. We got to match intensity and match effort, and they know we got to come play. If we don't, and then it might not look good.
Yeah, you're right.
But our goal is really to deal with adversity, learn how to deal with tough situations, games. I don't want to see us we're going to fight. We're going to continue to fight for four quarters. And whatever happens, can we deal with a win and loss in the right, good character way? And then we come back, we evaluate what we did wrong. That's to fix those things we did wrong, because down the line, if we fix them now early on, it's not going to hit us in the playoffs. We've already been there already.
Oh, yeah, because you've told me, you said, look, once you hit week one of the playoffs, because we've played a team like Oakland and CPA and the NBAs of the world, we're battle-tested. And I'm telling you, Coach, you're right, because when you hit the playoffs, Pearl Cone is always a team being mentioned to make it all the way to Chattanooga. And it's because you take on these tests, these early tests against these tough opponents, and it pays off dearly, because you see the example, you see you guys fight like you talked about, and you see how much they love doing this, how much they compete. So well done by you, Coach, for recognizing that way early in your career.
I think a lot of times people look at us like, man, I tell kids, don't look at us, you 0-3 or you 0-4 or whatever. I said, they're not district games. We take one game at a time, and we look for the future, not the short term. I could have played somebody easy if I could have found a game, but it's hard to find games. But I probably could have, but I would never know my flaws. So when I got hit in the playoffs or something, I ain't seen yet. I ain't seen three different offices. I'm going to see the first four games.
Coach Tony Bernetti is with us from Pearl Cone. What does it mean as someone that's coached in Metro as long as you have to see games with Metro schools like this be featured? It's something that, you know, we enjoy doing here and have done the last few weeks. I know it's got to mean something to you.
I mean, it's a pleasure. I mean, I think we want all Metro programs to excel and be in big type of games like this, you know. But you can't be afraid of the game. That's one thing I would tell you. You can't be afraid to lose. It's a winner and a loser. You know, you can't be afraid to jump outside your norm and play a team that's real good, because you're scared. It might take your team's pride, or it might take your team's spirit. We got to instill that pride and spirit through hard work in the offseason, and it will prepare you through the regular season.
Well, Coach, it's going to be a fun one. I'm looking forward to being there tomorrow. Good luck tomorrow night. Thanks so much for doing this.
I appreciate y'all. Most definitely. Thank you, Alvin.
Absolutely. Coach Tony Bernetti from Pearl Cone joining us, and that is the matchup tomorrow for the Metro Schools Game of the Week, presented by Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. Yours truly will be back on the call alongside Coach Bubba Spears. Weather didn't cooperate last week. I think it will this week, and we're going to see a good one between Oakland and Pearl Cone. I love this. Rutherford County and Metro Davidson County matchup.
Oh, I do. And the fact that both coaches are willing to do this, like, I know coaches who would have – Kevin Creasy would have – I know coaches in that situation who would have never done this. The fact that Coach Creasy recognizes this, and so does Coach Bernetti, two of the best coaches in Middle Tennessee, and these kids who play for those two guys are lucky kids, because they're good men and they're great coaches.
Yep, and Oakland is a fun atmosphere. You know it's going to be that way tomorrow. They are going to show out for sure there at Oakland High School.
You know how much I love my McGavick Raiders and the McGavick helmet, but what helmet do I have on my desk?
You have an Oakland Patriots because it's Pat the Patriot.
I love the Oakland Patriots helmet, but I just hope it's a good game tomorrow. I'm not picking either side.
Nope.
Hope they both win.
Yep. So looking forward to that. We'll have the Game Blitz pregame coming up at 6. We'll have official pregame coverage at 6:30. Kickoff just after 7. And then Connor Newt and Parker Kelly will take you home on the Game Blitz tomorrow night following our game. We'll have more coming here from the Omni Nashville Hotel at Barlines. It's Chase and Big Joe here on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday here at the Omni. Be sure to join the one and only Big Joe Dubin alongside Derek Mason and Chris Sanders at JBJ's on Broadway before the Titans take on the Rams. It's our pregame show from 9:30 to 11:30. It's brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Old National Bank, Circus Sportsbook Kentucky, and Tennessee Brew Works. Looking forward to hearing that. You with a couple of wide receivers.
I love those two guys. I love talking football. I love talking experiences with them. And especially with Cam Ward and the receivers, what they see, what they would do, how they play. They, you know, Chris started with the Oilers with Steve McNair. I mean, and then Derek came in 2 years later when Steve started.
Yeah,
as a quarterback in 97. Remember, he didn't play in 95, 96. And so he started his career as a starting quarterback in 97. And that was Derek's first year. And to see the maturation, the development of a quarterback once he understands it and gets it. And that, but I think Cam Ward's already got it. I mean, when you got all these other ex-quarterbacks weighing in on his performance, sans bad play calling, he's got it, man.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. So I have a challenge for Dr. Crane. As tonight, you know, Jake and I are going to be milking cows.
Yes.
You're hosting at the Nashville Fair. I asked Dr. Crane during the break if he knew how to lasso, and I need him to learn how to lasso.
For
when Clay shows up. So he comes down here and just lassos Clay and ties him up.
But we want to release Clay back into the wild.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We got to capture him first. I don't think he's that fast, so it'll probably be pretty easy to do.
I think Dr. Crane could do that.
Yes, because
so yeah, Dr. Crane, you could have a Nani drive in your car, you're hanging out the sunroof, and then you could lasso a Clay. Perfect. Oh my gosh, be the perfect thing ever.
I would laugh so hard.
What an image that would be. Clay running down Broadway with a 12 dozen donuts, and I'm trying to lasso.
I don't think he'd be running. He doesn't run.
No, he doesn't.
I think he'd be just kind of walking and not realizing what's going on.
Dr. Crane, would you wear your SMU cowboy hat?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it. I mean, I'd probably have to be in the wintertime because it's more of those, I guess, the wintertime cowboy hats. I don't have a summer one.
All right, well, I mean, cowboys do under extreme conditions, man. You could do this.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I could. It just have to be in the wintertime because the hat is for the winter. It's a winter cowboy
Doesn't
hat.
Doesn't matter. Cowboys don't wake up and say, hey, it's raining. I can't go to work today. They get to work.
That's
no matter
true.
What's going on.
Cowboys don't cry.
They don't cry.
Cowgirls don't cry as well. So,
some
I don't
the
know.
Baddest just, dudes on the planet, man.
Just wanted to point that out. We got a football game tonight there, JoJo. Excited about that?
This is Washington and Green Bay.
Yep. 2-1-0 teams in Lambeau.
John Gruden had a great rant today about guys that don't, he's like, I got a list of guys.
On
both these teams who didn't play in the preseason, yet you expect them to play 2 games in 5 days.
Yeah.
He goes, that's why the preseason matters.
That's a good
You're
point.
You're seeing it all the time, why the preseason matters.
Green Bay, a 3.5-point favorite at home, the total at 48.5. I like Green Bay in this game. I think Washington both teams look good the first week, but I tend to lean towards the home team and Lambeau. You know they're going to be fired up, so I think the Packers get it done.
See, that's the way I would think too, and then I'd lose.
Yeah, probably.
And then you know Washington beats them by 30. That's what I see. So yeah, but anyway, it's fun. And when the college game is NC State, Wake Forest tonight, right?
Yeah, there's I think there's a handful tonight. You're a handful.
I am a handful. Watch out now.
No, there's two. Okay, or there's one. NC State, Wake Forest. That okay. is correct.
I like that. That's good. Be a good little game, a college football game on the night.
NC State, a 7.5
point favorite.
Where's that game in?
Winston-Salem.
In Winston-Salem. Yeah, that's good.
I mean, on ESPN.
ACC matchup. NC State had a good game versus Virginia. Packed house. I think it was last week or opening week that it was. So
who's their coach now?
Is it Dave Dorn at NC
State?
Yeah,
Dave Dorn. And then Clawson left Wake Forest.
I don't know who the coach is there now. I have no idea. I have to look that up and see. It's funny. Dave Clawson was a coach in waiting in Knoxville after that, before the 2008 season. And then, of course.
Jake Dickert.
No idea. No clue.
I have no idea who that is.
And then, of course, after the 08 Vol season was terrible, they let go of Fulmer. And then Kiffin came in 09 and left after 1 year. And then our boy Derek Dooley came in 2010-12, and that was a complete disaster.
Wasn't Dan Enos on Saban's staff?
I don't know. He's had so many coaches run through that staff.
It was Enos, I think. Justin Kramer, is that a name you know?
Nope.
Okay, so you don't know any of these.
I know Cosmo Kramer.
Yeah.
He's a pretty good guy.
I don't think you know any of these guys. So, yeah, Wake Forest and in NC State tonight. But I'm looking forward to that Green Bay and Washington game.
I mean, it's a good shot for Green Bay to start at 2-0. And how much did Micah Parsons play last week? I didn't see.
He was on a snap count, but he made an impact.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's, you got him.
Jerry Jones is probably sitting there going, you know, if only we had an impact player on defense.
Right. But as we talked about, having Micah last week versus the Eagles wouldn't have helped them, right? I mean, the Eagles probably still would have won that football game. But, look, you move on, and for Green Bay to start out 2-0 in that division, that very tough division, they got a big win. Division went over Detroit last week, and Detroit didn't look good at all. And that's it. Again, that's why these preseasons are going to – more and more it's going to matter about the continuity and the cohesiveness – between everybody, because these guys, the first time your 11 guys play cannot be in game one. It just can't.
No, 100%. And we've seen that across the league, and it makes it rather sloppy.
It does.
So that's obviously what, you know, but it is what it is. I don't see them changing that stuff anytime soon.
No, not at all.
Unless the league makes them. Coming up next, you know, it's a good day to try and laugh.
It is.
Because that's, I think that's what we all need. Pat McGann, the very funny Pat McGann, who's a comedian, will be at Zany's tonight at 7 o'clock. He has been with Sebastian Maniscalco. He's going to join us coming up next here on the show, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. So we will talk to Pat. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.